meant to drive fast and meant to be cool, then okay, but if not, then get off the road.
On both sides, it's good to see everybody. And I'm doing this slot, I try to share with you a little bit of Torah. Also, before I do that, I just want to just play with my mind a little bit. Number one is something that I'm extremely sensitive to, partially because I'm very connected to this makom, but also partially because I feel it's the proper kavanah Torah, is that if you're walking around and you see something that's a little bit dirty, like this table, or if you see something a little bit amiss, like the zetalis or whatever, it's your makom. It's mamash your makom. Take a minute or two, or even less, 15 seconds, take the talis, put it back. You see the flyers are not, like, you know, like, it's such a chash of a thing for your own midos, to try to, your makom Torah, to try to be mechabi the makom, because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way that Nikayon matters and Seder matters. So that is, as I'm talking to you, of course, I'm a big talker, I apologize. And it's a struggle for me personally, it's not my natural nitiyah. It's a constant struggle, as people who've seen my car can tell you. But it's something that I work on constantly to try to, a lot of things moving, so to bring that to your attention, number one. Number two is, we were like in the end of January, and it first of all gives me a lot of pleasure to welcome Avi Krivoy to be a regular, one day a week member of the Yeshiva program, and Mirat Hashem, he'll be zochet to realize that there's more than one day in the week, as Hashem, and we got to start with that, and that's Gevaldik. I don't know if Rabbi gave you permission, but I'll speak to him, and if possible, give permission to come even the second day a week, you know, if possible, or third day. And I also want to welcome Ben to the Yeshiva program of Los Angeles. It's a special chevra, and of course, it's great to have the kvulim, the regular guys, not the regular, the staples. And as you might have noticed, Aaron Maslin is for this, at least for now, is not part of it.
He's a little bit phasing out right now.
So we need, when I say need doesn't mean. He'll come around, whatever, but the point is, I think his college, whatever, his classes, yeah, etc. The bottom line is, Rabosai, this is a program that it's in your hands to make Gevaldik. And really, if you know of anybody, and we're speaking from a place of what has been accomplished in the last 5-6 months, it's incredible. And really, now sometimes some kids are coming back from Eretz Yisrael. You might know of some chaverim who, you know, who just tell them what you do. You come from far away or from close to learn Torah in the morning for several hours, and that's a tremendous thing. And you should feel good about it. And when you feel good about something, you want to share it, spread the news. You know, like Lahavdil, when I was growing up and I saw a good TV show. In my days, that was Happy Days in Laverne and Shirley. I don't know if you ever heard of these shows. It wasn't Batman. That was, even when I was growing up, that was in reruns. But very Stern, he watched it in prime time. So it was a good show. I come the next day, like, I want to schmooze with the guys about, like, you know, or a good game. You know,
what was the show called?
Happy Days. MASH. You heard of MASH? Cheers.
Oh,
you're cheers.
Monday, Tuesday, cheers. Happy Days.
You and I are completely
different
guests
for
the first time.
You have no idea what that is yet.
No idea.
Yeah, I know.
What?
I'm prehistoric.
I have it on VHS, okay?
So,
I have MASH on VHS.
What's VHS?
You never heard of MASH? Never heard of MASH? MASH is the most popular TV show in history.
Sorry. Whoa. What about if it's that popular?
You can Google. MASH was the most watched episode of any TV show. Was the last MASH, which was in 1980. want to say it was 1983.
First of all, when I was a kid, they were playing reruns of MASH.
Anyway, okay, the kids is so we don't need to go into details. The point is that when you see something, when you're into it, when you're into something, yeah, when you're into it, so then you share it. That shows that you're into it. That's what it says in Mishlei, Ish Lefi Mahalalo. You can tell what a person is about by what he praises, what he's into. So if you say, what do you do? What's your life like? My life is amazing. Why PLA? All right, that's amazing. Okay, that's amazing. Fine. Now that I'd like to share with you a little bit of interesting Paro. Let's talk about Paro. Did Paro survive Kriyas Yamsuf?
Apparently so.
Why do you say apparently so?
Well, because we have a midrash that says that he was the king of blanking on the name.
Let's look what it says in the pasuk. Let's see what God has to say about this issue. Okay, so if you take a look at Perek,
Bishalach.
This is Parshas Bishalach. Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look at a few pasukim here. Take a look at Yud Dalid, Perek Yud Dalid pasuk Kafches, chapter 14, verse 28. Vayashuvu hamayim, the water returned back to its original state. I'm assuming that you guys know that the water split. Vayichasu es harechev es haparashim, and it covered the chariots, and it covered the horsemen, right, the officers. L'chol chel paro, all of the army of paro, habayim achareim, that were running after after the Jews, Bayom, Lo Nishar Bahem Ad Echad. There was not, there did not remain even one. Lo Nishar Bahem Ad Echad. Even one didn't last. Nobody. And the Evan Ezra says, Evan Ezra on this pasuk, I don't think the Arshkol has Evan Ezra. Ad Echad, Afilu Echad Lo Nimlat. Even one of them. Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Kavches. Kavches. Afilu. That's, you see that is. You saw. You see it.
Afilu.
Afilu Echad Lo Nimlat. No, not even. And no one was spared. V'chein. And therefore, and similarly, this phrase of Ad Echad. Hine Lo Meis Mi Mikne Yisrael Ad Echad. It's said in the plague of Dever, the pestilence, which is one of these words that nobody really knows what it means. Okay, I'll take two pestilence with a little bit of spice. Okay, a little bit of phylacteries on the side. In Elomet Mikne Yisrael Ad Echad, it says that no one died. That from the cattle of the Jews, none of the cattle died. Ad Echad, even one. So the word Ad Echad means even one. And similarly, it says in Tehillim, Echad Mehem Lo Nosar. Echad Mehem Lo Nosar. Not one of them remained. Where do we say that pasuk? Echad mehem lo nosar. Okay, let me say it in the way that you'll get it. Echad mehem lo notar. Okay? Echad mehem lo notar.
Somewhere in Shabbos.
Somewhere in?
On Shabbos.
And Shabbos, and on Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's called Shacharis. But since the YPLA 815 minion davened at the speed of light, faster than a speeding bullet, so it's hard to even know that you're davening. But Echad Mehem, Lo Notar, Echad Mehem Lo Notar, not one of them, except the ones that are in Guatemala, they go much slower. Echad Mehem Lo Notar, right? Not one of them will remain. That is what we say every morning, right after Shema, Ezra Saboseinu, if you, this sounds familiar, Vayichasu Mayim Tsarehem, the water covered their enemies. Sound familiar? It's getting closer. Echad Mehem Lo Notar, not one of them remained. And that line comes from Tehillim 106, Kufav. So the Evan Ezra, as well as Rabbi Nehemiah in the Medrash, as well as the simple reading of Tehillim, as well as many simple Mefarshim, basic Mefarshim say, no one survived. No one means not Paro, no one. Echad mehem lo nosar, no one survived. And in fact, it's interesting, Paro survived the Paro survived Makas Bechoros, even though according to our Mesorah, Paro was a Bechor, firstborn, but he survived. But he did not survive Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Why? Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem make Paro survive the plague of the firstborn, but not Kriyas Yamsuf? What do you think?
Because Kriyas Yamsuf wouldn't happen if Paro wasn't there, because Paro wouldn't have told the Egyptians to chase after the Jews.
What you said is mamish beautiful, and what you said is what many of the Mefarshim say, and I'm just struggling to remind myself which exact one said. Shh. It's the Medrash says that. The Medrash says it explicitly. The reason why Hashem caused Paro to survive the plague of the firstborn, this might have, you always have always wondered, why did Hashem do that? So one explanation in the Midrashim, maybe it's the Mechilta says, because Hashem wanted to set up Mitzrayim to give them free will. Because, you know, the story about the guy who walks into, the teacher walks into the class, and he puts two cups, a cup of water, a cup of whiskey. And he puts a worm in the water and a worm in the whiskey. And the worm in the water is like having a good time, and the worm in the whiskey, like, to the ground, to the floor, dies very shortly afterwards. And he wants to show the boys, this is what happens, with worms and this, with water. It says whiskey, don't drink, right? So he asked the kids, these are fifth graders, right? He asked the kids, what do you learn from this? So the kid goes, yes, I know. He goes, what do you learn? He goes, if you drink whiskey, you won't get worms. So when a person has free will, they have the possibility of distorting reality. So Hashem wanted them to say, oh, it could have been God, but maybe Paro's almighty. Right? So Paro says, chase the Jews. It's, there's a chance that Paro is the guy. There's also a possibility that God's the man. Hashem ish milchama. Right? So the Egyptians had to make the choice, and they made the wrong choice, right? So Hashem gives a person the ability to have free will. So if Paro would have died, there would have been no free will left for the Mitzrim. That's what the Medrash says. Interesting. But according to the Evan Ezra, and according to Rabbi Nechemia in the Medrash, Paro dies by the splitting of the sea. And as Reb Aryeh said very correctly, we have a machlokas in the Gemara with the word ad. Right? Ad, is it ad v'ad bichlal? Does it include, right, what's following? Or is it exclude, right? So if you say, tvilas ha-shachar, excuse me, we say tvilas ha-mincha, ad ha-erev, and that's not the right example of the Gemara. Gemara talks about plag mincha, so I don't get into that detail. But if I say to you, you can come until 1 o'clock, and you come at 1 o'clock, is that a buzzer beater or not? Last Friday, I was in Lakewood, New Jersey. I survived. And we went for pizza. Friday afternoon.
What else did you do there?
There's not much else. Went for pizza with my son and my wife. And we had a great time. This is the pizza place. It's like 2 o'clock, the owner is like, wants everybody out. Like 2 o'clock, it's closing, right? So, and everybody's, the Mexican workers, and then the firm owner, and people are leaving. And we're still there because we got in. We got there around 1:30. A guy walks in at 1:59. So 1:59, yeshiva guy walks in 1:59, and he says, "We're closing in a minute." This is like a classic yeshiva response. He goes, "Wow, perfect timing." to get out of here. He says, "Wow, the perfect time. I got in. You're perfect. I don't care. I can be a tough Shabbos, because I got in before 2 o'clock." Right? So he begins to order whatever. The Meshech Chachma, one of the great commentaries of the early 20th century, he says the machlokas is a machlokas. We're going to see in a minute. But according to this opinion, Paro died, and ad echad means including the one. Lo nishar dechad, there was nobody who remained ad echad, including one. However, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Medrash is that Paro survived. Paro survived Kriyas Yamsuf. Aye, it says Lo Nishar Bahem Ad Echad. No, help me out.
Up until the one.
Until one, right? No one remained until one, but there was one that remained. Aye, it says Echad Mehem Lo Nosar. One of them didn't remain. What do you do with that? So there are four explanations in them that I found in the Mefarshim for that line. Echad mehem lo nosar. One of them, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, great and brilliant Torah scholar who is alive today, he says, based on the Medrash, that if you look in the Medrash, known as the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, in Perek Mem Gimel, which talks about this whole Indian, it says there that Hashem brought Paro underneath the sea, and then he actually, it sounds like he actually died, and then he brought him back for, like, he was mechayeh him. He brought him back alive. So Echad Mehem Lo Nosar means that the initial, none of them survived. And initially, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu like was mechayeh meisim. He like brought him back to life. That's one. That's the easier explanation that the Mefarshim give earlier than Rechaim is that Echad Mehem means the nation. None of the Am survived. Echad Mehem Lo Nosar. But he's not Mehem. He's not one of the guys. Paro is above the guys. Okay, that's another explanation. But the point is, according to the Medrash, Paro survived, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's interesting.
Is
that Tehillim?
What? Echad Mehem Lo
Nosar, is that Tehillim? It's in Tehillim Kuvav. Echad Mehem Lo Nosar. It doesn't say Echad Mehem Lo Nosar. And that's, we say it in Shacharis. We take that line. Now, I want to say an interesting thing. There's a beautiful comment by the Baal HaTurim, who always has like cute things. But listen to what he said. His mom is beautiful. The Baal HaTurim says, you remember, see if you finish this up. Finish up the line. Vayiru'u ha'am es Hashem. Vayiru'u ha'am es Hashem. And the people feared God. Blank b'Hashem uve Moshe avdo. No, can you help me out here?
Blank, he said again.
Vayiru'u ha'am et Hashem. And blank b'Hashem uve Moshe avdo. We say it every morning in davening. Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe avdo. Right? So come, and they were afraid of Hashem, and they believed in Hashem and Moshe the servant. So the Baal HaTurim says this word vayaminu.
We have the Baal HaTurim Laman Aleph.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. The Baal HaTurim says that there are two times in Tanakh. Mamash, it's gebaldik. There are two times in Tanakh that the word vayaminu appears. Once over here, they, Bnei Yisrael, believed in Hashem. And then he says another time is, Vayaminu Anshei Ninveh Belokim. The men of Ninveh believed in Hashem. Who is Ninveh? What story is that?
Yonah.
Right? Yonah. Okay? As you all know, Yonah came to the city of Ninveh, and he told them, you better do tshuva. And they did a whale of a tshuva. Didn't do well. They did a whale of a tshuva. They did an unbelievable tshuva, right? Yonah told them, Hashem is going to destroy the city in 40 days. Okay. So, he who laughs last gets the joke last. So comes the Baal HaTurim, and he says as follows. It says in the Medrash, this is really the main point I want to share with you. I'm ending in 3 minutes.
Bottom left.
Isa b'medrash. Rabosai, it's mamish kedai to see the Baal HaTurim. Lo nishar bahem ad echad. Shelo nishar ela echad. Only one remained. Behu paro. V'holach leninveh. And according to the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, which the Baal HaTurim is based on, Paro went to Ninveh, Umalach Sham, and he became the king in Ninveh. Now, how long was the Yonah story after Yetzias Mitzrayim? That depends on when Yonah happened. According to some, this Yonah story is actually very shortly after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Some say it's much, much later on. But there is, I saw a comment, a commentary in the Torah Shlema that says that we actually have records, historical records, that Egyptian culture was so powerful, the Egyptians were so powerful, that they actually conquered Assyria. Assyria, is Nineveh was the king of Ashur. Okay, so it's interesting. According to this, it makes, what's that? So it's interesting like this. According to the Medrash,
when they conquered, they said no one left.
What's that?
Nobody was left, though.
No, no, that
they might have been left.
There had to have been. Yeah, that's a good question. Like, what is it? None of those that ran after them could be this. Not everybody ran after them, right? Could be. Notice those that ran after them remained.
9 million people ran after them.
You know, I don't know. But listen to this interesting thing. So the Medrash says, the Pirkei Avot says that when Yonah came and he said, "Od ma'at v'Nineveh ne'apechas," shortly Nineveh is going to be destroyed. So the king is Paro, and Paro said, "This God means business. I'm not doing this again." I talk about post traumatic stress syndrome, right? Paro is like that to the max. Goes, do tshuva now. Right, do tshuva now, right? And like according to the Medrash, like he separated the men and the women, and you know, and even like he went overboard. Even the babies couldn't nurse from the mothers. If the baby was a boy, and the mother, like, he was like mamish, he was so super frum, right? Because Paro was the remnant from this whole thing. So it's interesting. Here's an interesting nekuda, Rabosai. So according to the Medrash, Paro survived. Why did Paro survive? He survived in order to teach the world who Hashem is. And by the way, hold on. Does what?
Sheniskar Lamasha Rabbimitz.
Sheniskar Lama, right. Lamasha Rabbimitz. Right. He remembered. Lamasha Rabbimitz. He remembered what he saw. Now, it's interesting. Take a look with me at Perek Tes. Go to Perek Tes for 1 second. Mama's going to end in a minute. Karaktes Pasuk Tes Zayin, and this is going back a little bit. It's right before Barad. So in Perek, so Hashem says to Moshe, Karaktes Pasuk Tes Zayin, Va'ulam Bavurzos He'emaditicha. This is the reason why I'm keeping Paro alive.
74.
Okay. You know, Hashem is telling Moshe to tell Paro, this is why you're going to survive. Bavur haroscha es kochi. I want you, Paro, to see my koach. Uleman saper shemi b'chol ha'aretz. So that you can tell my name, tell the world about my name. You ever, Rabosai, it's an interesting thing. Is there any greater objective? You know, sometimes if I say to you, like, you know, I have this great place called Link. Let me tell you why Link is great. Of course, you say Link is great because you gotta, you know, it's your place. You know, really cool, you know. But if somebody else says, right, you know, let me tell you what my kid is. My granddaughter Gittel, she's a gaon. She's only 2 weeks old and she's contemplating the secrets of the world, right? So, you know, you're just like, you know, you're just a Jewish, you know, grandfather, right? But if somebody else tells you that, right? So who's going to be the one that's going to tell the greatness of God? So if Klal Yisrael tells it, so that's Givaldik also. But even greater is, right, when the Goyim, Hallelujah Hashem, Kol Goyim. That's already Mashiach site, right? That's the next level. Hallelujah Hashem, Kol Goyim. Because the Goyim know what they wanted to do to us. That's what the Biskur Rav said. The Goyim know how they wanted to destroy us. The Goyim know what the plans were. And they somehow, they don't know, those plans don't work out, right? All the foiled terrorist plans. We know but the few that get through. But the most don't get through. Baruch Hashem. Hallelujah Hashem kol Goyim. When the Goyim say, right? Umala aris deyas Hashem. Why am I telling you this? You are in unique positions. I very rarely get a chance to hang out with Goyim. I'm not saying I'm looking for that chance, right? I mean, every once in a while, when I go to CVS or Walgreens, whatever. So then, I'll see somebody that's not Jewish, right? But if you're going to college, right? Well, you're going in the working world. Every opportunity in that environment is Saper Shmi. Is to be able to tell about the name of Hashem. And by the way, usually the best way to tell a story.
It's to cause them to tell it, it's really.
Right, beautiful. The best way to tell a story is not to preach, is to let them see you in action and let them talk. Because as we said, when a person's really crazy about something, they'll talk about it themselves.
Standing up on the bus when elderly people come on, that's
right. That's Laman Saper Shemira. He's a Yid, right?
A bus driver gave me a free ride for that.
Who? Mm-hmm.
A bus driver once gave me.
Really?
Let me go for free.
It's a beautiful thing.
Was
beautiful.
It an older person?
Now, Bosei, there's much more to say, but this is according to the Medrash. This is the Indian. This is the Indian of why Hashem spared Paro. Now, why Paro? Why shouldn't he have been the last guy? On some level, he was the worst, but on some level, he was the one that had the greatest capability. Right? You know, you hear that Paro was a royal person. He had great capabilities, you know. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to be the vehicles of Saper Shmi B'chol HaAretz. Have a wonderful Shabbos. I was called to.